Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, that's pretty good. It's kind of fun. When I say good morning, you all say good morning back. I feel loved. Hey, happy Easter. This is what it's all about. This is it. I mean, Easter, why we've gathered this morning, really this is what Christianity is about. So for those who are here this morning who have made a decision to be in relationship with God through Jesus Christ, let this morning be a great reminder. Let it be a great encouragement. And I pray that your heart would be filled with gratitude and just thankfulness for what God has done. And for those who are here this morning, who are maybe just visiting for the first time or just visiting a family member, and they're like, hey, come to church with me this morning. And they're like, no, I don't want to go to church. Someone's going to get up and, well, that's my job. But if you're here and you're in that place and you're just curious, curiosity brought you here. You wanted to hear a little bit about what's this God thing all about? Who is this Jesus? Why are Christians, billions of Christians throughout the world on this day celebrating what we call Easter, that Jesus is alive? So if you're here and that's where you're at, in a place of just you're curious, it's a good place to be. In my prayer for you this morning, is that God would meet you in that curiosity, and your heart would be fully really awakened to what God has for you, and really a message of love, a message of grace, a message that God says, I desire to be in a relationship with you, and I've made all of that possible through my son, Jesus Christ. So this morning, as I take a look at God's word, this is Jesus Christ crucified on Friday, Jesus Christ resurrected, raised. The tomb was empty on Sunday morning, thus conquering sin, Satan, and death. This is the crux of Christianity. If there was no empty tomb, if there was no resurrection, I got nothing to talk about. I could tell you maybe about the Red Sox or the Patriots, or we won't bring them up. That's a bad memory. I've got nothing to say. If there is no empty tomb, if there is no resurrection, if Jesus is still dead, I've got nothing to offer. I've got nothing to say. But at the heart of Christianity, the crux of Christianity, what is so central to the Christian faith is that Jesus Christ died, he was crucified, he was dead, he was buried, and then on the third day, he was raised back to life. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians says it like this, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy. How thankful are we that God is rich, but he's rich in mercy. He made us alive with Christ. There are people who exist, and then there are people who have been made fully alive, awakened, heart and soul. There are people who are just existing. But when Jesus Christ, because of his resurrection, because of faith in him, I go from just existing, just being a physical being, to awakened heart and soul. God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgression, dead in sin. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. So because Christ was raised, because the tomb was empty, I am raised. I am raised with him by grace. I'm not raised because I'm a good person or I've done good things or I've worked hard. I am only raised to life because Christ has been raised to life. It really matters. It really does matter. The resurrection. It is so central to the Christian faith. If there is no resurrection, if that tomb was not empty on Sunday morning, it really matters. You might as well have placed your faith in my grandfather who died years and years and years ago. There's no resurrection. There's no hope. And so this morning, I want to paint as best as I possibly can the picture of why the resurrection matters. Why that the empty tomb, why it gives us reason to have joy and hope and peace. Because if there's not a resurrection, those things, I can't have those things. So the question I'm asking this morning is, why does the resurrection matter? And the Apostle Paul answers this question. If you have a Bible, please flip open to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to have the verses on the screen for you, so you can follow along that way. He starts off in chapter 15, verse 1. He says, "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel." I want to remind you of the gospel, not because it's easy to forget the gospel, but it's easy to stray, it's easy to wander from that which matters most. And so Paul begins, "I want to remind you, not because I think you forgot, but it's easy to wander and it's easy to stray from what matters most." He goes on, he says, "I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. I remind you, not because it's easy to forget, but because you can stray and you can wander and actually start creating your own gospel. A gospel created by men, a gospel of works, a gospel of performance, or a gospel where we just follow the traditions and the customs that humans have created." Paul says, "I want you to understand the gospel of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ." And he says six things, actually. The gospel is to be remembered. The gospel is to be preached. It's to be proclaimed. It's to be heralded. The third thing is it's to be received. That when someone hears the gospel, we're to embrace what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. The gospel is what we take our stand upon. Let me ask you a question. What are you standing upon this morning? What are you building your life? What is it that your life is actually standing upon? Is it firm? Is it reliable? Let me ask you even a more important question. Is what you're standing on, is it really worth standing on? Because we can stand on a lot of things. I'm going to build my life around certain relationships I can have with people, or my career, or making a lot of money and making a big name and a big deal about myself. Is what you're standing on, is it really worthwhile? Because Paul says the gospel is what we are to take our stand upon. Fifthly, the gospel is what brings salvation. Not human effort, not works, not being a good person. It is the gospel that brings salvation. Salvation meaning it makes us right with God. It brings us to a place of peace with God where we are forgiven, embraced, his mercy. And it says this, the gospel is to be held on to firmly, because there will be many false gospels that will come and say, no, believe this. That's not really what the gospel is. I keep throwing this word around, gospel. What does it even mean? The Greek word is actually just a word, euangelion. And it actually means joyful news or good news. So what's the good news? I mean, I don't know about you, but at least the culture I live in is in desperate need of some good news. I don't know, maybe you're here this morning and you were like, I hope someone would actually give me some good news this morning. This is the gospel. It is joyful, good news. Paul goes on to answer this question. This is the gospel. This is the good news. And I hope you catch this. Paul makes it so clear of what the gospel of Jesus is. For what I received, I'm in verse 3, still 1 Corinthians 15. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. When someone gives you good news, what do? Do you keep it to yourself? Like, think of something amazing has happened in your life. Is your first thought is, man, I can't wait not to tell anybody. All right, when my wife and I got pregnant with our first son, I was like, let's not tell anyone. Hopefully no one will notice. We can get away for 9 months and no one will notice something growing inside you. No, I could not wait to tell people. Why? Because it was great news. It was joyful news. I could not stop talking about it. I moved here 4 years ago, a bunch of Red Sox freaks everywhere. People could not stop talking about the Red Sox in the year I happened to move here. I'm not saying there's a correlation, but we won the World Series. People could not stop talking about it. Why? Because it was good news. It was joyful news. And Paul says, what I received this gospel, and my first thing I wanted to do, I have to give it to you. I'm passing it on to you. Why? Because it is of first importance. There's nothing more important than this. This is it. Of all the things I could tell you, the gospel is of first importance. That Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures, and that he appeared. And listen to the list of people he appeared to. Peter, then the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep, meaning they've died. Then he appeared to James, then to the apostles, and last of all he appeared to me, as to one abnormally born. Paul has a high view of his birth. That is an incredible list of people that Jesus appeared to. What is the gospel? Four things Paul says. Christ died for our sins. Meaning Christ died to atone, to make a sacrifice for our sins so that you and I did not have to. Because we could not. We were not perfect. We were not without sin, but Jesus was. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. Okay, I stress this. He was buried, meaning you don't bury someone who's alive. Okay, you bury someone who is dead. Jesus was dead. Okay, he wasn't hanging out in the tomb for 3 days like, someone open this rock so I can get out of here. Jesus died, no longer living, no breath in his body. He was dead, and he was buried. He was resurrected on the third day. He died on Friday, was dead on Saturday. On Sunday morning, early in the morning, Jesus resurrected. Jesus is alive. Gospel, Christ died for sin, he was buried, he was resurrected, and then this is phenomenal. He appeared. It wasn't like, poof, he's alive, off to heaven. Jesus appeared to an incredible list of Peter, disciples, 500 plus witnesses, James, the other apostles, and then Paul. Why is the appearance important? If he didn't appear, we got nothing to talk about. Because we wouldn't know that he was resurrected, but Jesus wanted people to know back then, and he wants us to know now, I am alive. And if Jesus is alive, we got to respond. Because nothing like this in human history has ever happened, where someone was dead and was resurrected back to life. And so if this really did happen, if Jesus really is alive, if the tomb is really empty, we have to respond. And this is Paul's response. I love Paul's response. He goes on, starting in verse 9. For I am the least of the apostles and did not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. Now I worked harder than all of them, referring to other apostles, disciples, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach. Preach, this is grace, the gospel, and this is what you have believed. Paul knows something about himself. He is the least likely person to actually get up here and proclaim or preach the gospel. If you don't know anything about the Apostle Paul, he hated Jesus. He hated the church to the point where he wanted to destroy Christians. He wanted to destroy the church. He viewed Christianity as a cancer that was killing Judaism. He was hell-bent on making sure Christianity was done with. That's why he says, who am I now to be a herald, a proclaimer, a preacher of the gospel? And I love that he says this. It's because of the grace of God. I am what I am. Why? Because of God's grace. I thank God that I am not what I used to be. I know I'm not all that I should be, but by God's grace, I am what I am. And when God's grace shows up in your life, when God's grace shows up in my life, it has an impact. It has an effect. I love how Paul says, his grace to me was not without effect. He went from being the greatest persecutor of Jesus, of Christians, of the church, to becoming, by God's grace, the greatest champion of Jesus, of Christianity, of the church. Paul penned most of the New Testament. His life, by God's grace, was radically transformed from a guy who hated God, hated the church, hated Jesus, to where he could not stop talking about it. His life was so consumed with this gospel that Christ died for sins, that he was dead, he was buried, he was risen on the third day, and that he appeared to Paul. So, I didn't give you context here. Paul is talking to a church here. And so, people begin to ask questions like, okay, is this really possible? Paul, I hear you. I love the passion. We see the transformation. But is it really possible? Humanity's response, or how do people respond to the gospel? Paul says this. But if it is preached, I'm in verse 12, if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection from the dead? People are saying, Paul, you're an idiot. It's not possible. People don't raise from the dead. It just doesn't happen. That's what they're responding. Great gospel, but it's not a gospel because people are not raised from the dead. Okay, so Paul goes on. If there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching, it's useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he's raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him, in fact, if the dead are not raised. If the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sin. Then those who have also fallen asleep, trusting in Christ, are also lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. People are saying, faith, or Paul, your entire faith system here is based on something that is not possible. And so Paul walks them through this argument. Okay, if the resurrection is not possible, then Houston, we have a serious problem. If the resurrection, if that tomb was not empty, we are in a lot of trouble. Because he says, if there's no resurrection, then it's not possible for Christ to be raised. And if Christ is not raised from the dead, if that tomb was not empty, humanity has six major problems. And he walks through them. The first one is this: preaching the good news, it's useless because there's no good news. There's nothing to talk about that's joyful or good. Your faith is also useless. This word that he uses for useless is empty, without content, basis, truth, power, or profit. My preaching and your faith, it's without profit. He goes on, the third problem. We, being Paul and his companions, I'm a liar then. Because I am going around the entire known world telling people that Jesus is alive. And if Jesus is not alive, I'm a liar. I am a false witness. I am bearing false testimony to a lie. Problem three. Problem number four. If you didn't catch it the first time, he says again, your faith is futile, meaningless, worthless. Problem five. This is a huge one. If Jesus is not raised from the dead, we're still dead in our sin. Jesus went to the cross to pay the penalty for sin. And when he rose on the third day, empty tomb, sin was defeated. It was conquered. Why? Because he rose. He's alive. And Paul says, you're still dead in your sin. If Jesus didn't rise, there's no resurrection, you're still dead in your sin. And here's a real hopeful statement. He says, number six, those who died trusting in Jesus, they're lost. All those people we told to trust in Jesus for faith, for forgiveness, for mercy, for compassion, for eternal life, they're lost. They have absolutely no hope whatsoever. And then he finishes in verse 19. If Christ is dead, you are pitied people. And I want you to hear this. The word pity is mean you're a pathetic human being. That's what he's saying. If Jesus is dead, if there's no resurrection and you're placing your faith in something that didn't happen, you are nothing more than a pathetic person. You're building your entire life, what you're standing upon, as a lie. And people should look at you and pity you. People should look at you and say, that is a pathetic person. They're taking a stand for something that did not actually happen and is not true. This is why Easter is so important. This is why the resurrection is the crux of Christianity. Because if it did not happen, we're pathetic people. But Paul says, but I have good news. I have good news. And he emphatically declares in the next verse, and we'll finish with this. Verse 20, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. You people who are thinking, as Paul is talking, that there is no resurrection, Paul says, I want you to know that there was a resurrection, that there was Jesus in a tomb on Friday, on Saturday, and Sunday. First thing Sunday morning, it was empty. There was no body. Because people who are alive do not live in tombs. They are not wearing grave clothes. He is alive. But Christ has been indeed raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam, the first man, all died. In Adam, physically and spiritually, we died because we rebelled against God. So in Christ, please hear, this is, all are made alive. So in Christ, all will be made alive. Rescued from just existing to be made fully alive, fully awakened. He says those who've died trusting in Christ, they have hope because their hope was not in vain. Why? Because the tomb was empty. They have full assurance that because Christ was raised, so are they. And then he says death, it did come through one man, Adam. When Adam and Eve in the garden thousands of years ago decided to say, God, we're not going to do it your way. We're going to go our own way. They shook their fist in the face of God and they rebelled. And humanity has been doing that ever since. But Jesus Christ brought life, that those who would have faith, hope, and put their trust in Jesus would be made fully alive. For Paul, death and resurrection of Jesus, it's of first importance because it's the gospel. It's what matters most. He could not stop talking about the gospel. He says in Timothy this. I love this. He says to a young pastor, remember, Timothy, Jesus Christ raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel. This is my good news. This is my joyful news for which I am suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal. If it didn't, why would Paul suffer? Why would he be chained like a criminal if he's building his life upon a lie? It was because the grace of God showed up in his life. Jesus Christ appeared to him, transformed him from a persecutor to a champion of the faith. This is why it matters. This is why the resurrection matters. This is the gospel. Jesus Christ died, crucified for sin, to pay the penalty of sin. And when he rose on the third day, sin, Satan, and death conquered. And those who would place their faith and hope and trust in Jesus would find life. The Bible throughout proclaims that Jesus is alive. This morning, before we head into baptisms, I just wanted to ask you a question. Have you responded? Have you received this good news? Have you responded not to a gospel that you've made up on your own, but to this gospel, the gospel that Jesus Christ, he died for sin, he was buried, he was raised on the third day, and then he appeared to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. Have you embraced, have you received this gospel? This is my life. This is what I've taken my stand on. Christianity, it's not part of my life. Following Jesus is not part of my life. Christianity is all of my life. Following Jesus is all of my life. Because God's grace showed up in my life and transformed someone who was lost, who was rebellious, who was, spiritually speaking, just dead, separated from God. But Jesus Christ awakened my heart, awakened my soul. Compassion, mercy, forgiveness, and offered me a new home in heaven where I would dwell with Jesus, dwell with God, both now and for eternity. not in a gospel I've made up of on my own, of trying to be a good person and do good things, but because of Jesus. This is the gospel. Have you received, have you embraced this gospel? This morning, in a few minutes, you're going to hear some testimonies. Four individuals, actually, who are going to testify before God, before their family, before their friends, before this community, that I've received this gospel. I'm taking my stand on this gospel. I'm living my life for Jesus. And before I invite them to come, I wanted to invite you to do the same. This is why the resurrection matters. If there's no resurrection, pity me. I'm a pathetic person. But if there was a resurrection, which I believe with all my heart, that Jesus Christ is alive, that Jesus Christ was risen, rose from the dead, I've been made right with God because of Jesus then. And so can you this morning. This morning, if you would, I just invite you just to bow your heads. This is the gospel. It's a gospel to be embraced. It's a gospel to be received. It's a gospel to be proclaimed. And if you're here this morning and this is a gospel that you say amen to, then in just this time of prayer, would you just thank God for grabbing hold of you, revealing Jesus Christ that he has been revealed to you? Would you just give thanks that it was this gospel that saved you, that made you right, that brought you peace with God? And if you're here this morning, if you've yet to do that, and God is just tugging on your heart, I am alive, and desires to make you fully alive, where you will be forgiven of sin and have a new home in eternity in heaven. Would you just pray this with me? Lord Jesus, I receive, I embrace, and I believe that you are God's Son. I receive and believe and embrace that you were crucified on a cross to pay the penalty for my sin. I receive and I believe and I embrace that you were dead. You died on my behalf. And I receive and I believe and I embrace and I confess with my mouth here that you are alive. The tomb is empty. I've confessed that I am sinful in need of you to save. I embrace your forgiveness. I embrace your grace and your love. And I give you thanks this morning that because of Jesus and Jesus alone, I now have peace with you, Father God. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.